I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Give me the people who can stop this and make it work right.
House Speaker Mike Johnson, meanwhile, said this on X, quote, that is simply untrue. Biden is either lying or misinformed. No more excuses. Johnson also listed four different powers that Biden could use right now to fix the border. Florida Senator Rick Scott is blaming fellow Republican Mitch McConnell for the Senate border negotiations, accusing the minority leader of undermining GOP voters. Senator Scott writes this in a new op-ed. McConnell is preserving a Republican Party in Washington that has completely lost touch with our voters and the real world.
That I would agree with. Senator Mitch McConnell has become so Democrat-leaning, he might as well take his seat on that side of the aisle in the U.S. Senate. That is, of course, Maria Bartiromo today talking about this latest border proposal that we're going to break down for you from what we've been able to gather, and yet it's still very incomplete, and yet they're trying to push it around. This will solve everything. As you heard Joe Biden being interviewed briefly at the beginning, saying, they just give me the money, we'll make it work. I've done everything I can to shut down the border. Liar, liar, pants on fire, Joe Biden. You have not done everything you can. By executive order, you basically open the border. By executive order, you can close the damn border. But he's not doing it because he wants more money. More money that he says will be used for more Border Patrol agents, which are really going to be used to process more through. And this package has inside of it a guarantee that 5,000 illegals would be allowed into the country every day. That is not closing the border. If I appear to be over the top and angry, it's because I am. And if you're watching our live stream, when we pull it up or you pull it up later at a point, you're going to see I am over the top. I'm this far from going over the ledge. All right, thanks for joining us. Here we are, January 31, 2024. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back. We're here every Monday through Friday night for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video for you at News Talk STL Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, and YouTube, and also at Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Twitter, and Rumble. No YouTube. They kicked us off. They're not going to let us on anytime soon, at least it appears. I could really give a rat's, you know. You got it. Thanks for filling in the spaces for me. But again, we appreciate you listening, watching, either now or later. Again, I appreciate those of you who are sharing. As you go back to pull up the programs, either in a podcast, video, and or audio, that in turn you share and send to someone else, thank you. The numbers are showing and reflecting it, and I appreciate it. We are at a true crisis point in this nation. I truly was making a point that our issue going into 2016 between Hillary and Trump was critical, not just for, quote, democracy, as they want to continue to yell right now. They suddenly know the word democracy. They still don't know that we're a republic on the other side. But how important it was to who was going to be able to control, at least in nomination, members for the court. One, federal courts across the land, and two, of course, the highest court. By God's providence, Trump was in position to name three justices to the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't expect them to go on votes every way that I want. I want them really to do what they're supposed to do based on Constitution. And the first prior and I should say prime ruling they made involved obviously abortion. And it is not in the Constitution. It never has been. It was kind of waffled in under the 14th Amendment. And even Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who had been on the court following that decision, said, looking back on it, they never should have done that. They They made up law that didn't exist. Even Ruth Bader Ginsburg accused them of that. And so when Bill Clinton came to her to nominate her to the court, she said, I don't know if I'll get through because so many women are angry that I didn't buy the idea that abortion is law of the land. But right now is another critical point in our nation's history. This woke culture and all the DEI and everything else is being fostered and pushed upon our children and shoved into our military and every level of government and many major corporations, and what it has to do with you and your family and your kids and grandkids going forward is critical. And for those of you who say, I just can't handle anymore, I don't want to talk about politics, I don't want to get involved, you better get involved. If you don't, first of all, don't come complaining when it goes the wrong way. And secondly, you are among those who are failing our nation. Now, I'll be direct with you. If you're not going to take a stand and make it clear that we need to save this nation and get back on track, and it begins right now with the immigration, you are part of the problem. The immigration issue continues to escalate, and of course then they present, as I quoted you yesterday, Senator Chris Murphy from over the weekend said, we have a bipartisan deal. We have a BS deal. And yet we still don't have all of it. As he added the other day, and they still apparently have not finished, he said, we're sort of finalizing the last pieces of text right now, and we should have it on the floor of the U.S. Senate next week, talking about this week. Well, what some of the senators have seen of it, they don't like one bit. Maria Bartiromo and questioning Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson.
You are on the Senate Homeland Security Committee. Have you seen the text of the Lankford bill on the border, and what is your assessment of it?
Not one word of it.
Wow.
They talk about it in generalities. We've seen things leaked. Our staff has been briefed by leadership staff. What we've been briefed on is definitely concerning. But let me just say that President Biden is completely full of it. He had all the executive authority he needed, and he used it to dismantle all the successful programs that President Trump had in place that secured the border. President Biden wants an open border. He is the root cause of the current catastrophe, the current clear and present danger to this nation. He caused this. And for him to sit there and say, I need more authority. No, you have all the authority you need. Speaker Johnson is laying it all out there. The Supreme Court has ruled on this. He says that, the Section 212F of the Immigration Nationalization Act, it exudes deference to the president.
The president has the authority. But he says, well, I've done everything I can. No, you haven't. And here you are with your hands out for more money while claiming you're doing everything you can. And for Senator Ron Johnson to be on the Homeland Security Committee and say, I still have not seen a word of this bipartisan deal, really, in the text that they're going to present. This is, am I wrong? Is this Wednesday? Yes, Larry, thank you. It is Wednesday, January 31. Again, last weekend, Senator Chris Murphy, one of the key negotiators on behalf of the Senate, saying, we do have a bipartisan deal. No, you don't. Now, you might have had the help of Senator McConnell, which I have no doubt you did that, but you do not have what needs to be done right now, and that is a full presentation. And it is not just a Republican concern. Let me read to you some of the latest out of Eagle Pass, Texas. They have a Democrat mayor, and he's saying the ongoing showdown between our state and the Biden administration over control of a border area that's seen massive influxes of migrants is frustrating and a constant struggle. This is the Eagle Pass City mayor. He's a Democrat. And a councilwoman described the immigration crisis on the Texas border community as a, quote, situation that is escalating day by day. Now, yesterday, Hans von Spakovsky joined us from the Heritage Foundation, and he says the Supreme Court ruling the other day on having to remove the razor wire really wasn't to remove the razor wire. They didn't make a final ruling. They're going to let other courts make decisions, and most of the razor wire now is on private land or Texas state land, so the feds cannot tell them to take it down anyway. And then, of course, we have the impeachment effort settled and moving forward involving Mayorkas, and Hans von Spakovsky said there are grounds to go after him on impeachment if you're just trying to throw him out because, quote, he's a bad person or you don't like him or he's doing a bad job. That's one thing, but when you put it in the context of the Constitution, there are grounds to do that. And Senator said, Ted Cruz said, get him.
I think the House is doing exactly the right thing. I think Alejandro Mayorkas should be impeached. I think he should have been impeached 2 years ago. You got to understand, it's not that Mayorkas is bad at his job. It's that he is openly defying federal law. He is not trying to secure the border. He is instead trying to accelerate illegal immigration. He is trying to process illegal immigrants faster. We've had over Joe Biden's entire tenure, 9.6 million illegal immigrants flood into this country, and Mayorkas is ignoring the laws on the books and is subjecting the American people to enormous risk. We've seen crime. We see children being brutalized. We see women being sexually assaulted. We see over 100,000 drug overdoses last year, the highest in history. 70% of that is Chinese fentanyl flooding across the southern border. And those body bags are very much the fault of Alejandro Mayorkas and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And so I salute the House for doing the right thing. It needs to be done. This needs to stop.
But the bottom line is, and Senator Ted Cruz knows this, even if there is a full impeachment in the House of Mayorkas, it goes to the Senate for the jury trial, as they would call it, because this would be an indictment from the House, and the Senate will not move to convict him, and basically they'll end up acquitting him of impeachment charges. So we're still kind of running a game at this point, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe at some point some of these U.S. senators begin to realize on the Democrat side, yeah, we got to make a stand here. Another place we are trying to make a stand and trying to make it clear that do not continue to hit us, as the president said, do not take advantage of October 7th, those other nations. If you're thinking about attacking us because of that, my words are don't. Well, we know three Americans were killed the other day at an outpost in Jordan, Tower 22. What is the latest on that situation?
A U.S. official says additional air defenses are being sent to the base in Jordan, where three U.S. service members were killed in a drone strike. Tower 22, the site of the attack, did not have the same air defense capabilities as other bases in the region because it hadn't yet been the target of a previous assault. And we're still waiting to hear what the official U.S. response will be to all of this. Here's what President Biden had to say earlier today.
Yes.
Deputy Pentagon Press Secretary Sabrina Singh joins us now. Sabrina, thank you for being with us. Let's begin with the president. He says a decision has been made about how the U.S. will respond to this attack. What kind of response should we expect to see?
Thanks, Bob, for having me today. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you. Look, I'm not going to forecast what our response is going to be. What I can tell you is that, and what the president said and what the secretary has said, is that we are going to respond, but it's going to be at a time and place of our choosing. I don't want to get ahead of any military action that we're going to take. Of course, it wouldn't make sense to forecast our punches here. But what I can tell you is that there will be a response because we are going to hold those people accountable that did inflict injuries onto over 40 of our service members and, of course, tragically resulted in the death of three of our service members as well.
All right. Now, again, I wanted you to hear that CBS report. And of course, the Pentagon spokesman stating, well, we're not going to get ahead of everything in Telegraph, which I agree with. But there was a line that kind of got slipped in there. And of course, the response from Biden was very quick. We will respond. And so noisy, you couldn't hear anything beyond that. The fact that he took time to say that tells me that suggests that it's imminent. Well, that was yesterday. Still nothing. Maybe it's going to be tonight, tomorrow, Friday night, over the weekend, I don't know, but I don't like the idea of saying we will respond and then we're just kind of sitting back. And I agree. I don't want to telegraph. I agree also time and place of our choosing. But the other line that slipped in there, this Outpost 22 did not have all the defense capabilities others do. Why? Because it had not been attacked before. Why do you have to go through TSA to get on any plane? Because there have been planes, other planes, that were attacked. Now everybody has to do it. So it seems to me in the Middle East by now, at this point, we should have armed up everything, whether they've been hit or not. And Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense, should have been doing it, as well as President Biden. A CNN Pentagon correspondent talks about options that are available. Not saying this is going to happen, but a wide range of options for Biden.
Officials have made it clear this is expected to be wider, broader in scope, and perhaps sustained over time, far much more so than we've seen in previous U.S. strikes in Iraq and Syria. The question, of course, what does it look like? And that's where President Joe Biden has options. He could carry out strikes in Iraq or Syria or both. He could go after weapons and facilities, which has been sort of the MO of the past, or he could go after leadership, which the U.S. has done on occasion. That would be a larger message. The strikes themselves could be sustained over time. They could have a cyber element to it as well, a cyber attack accompanying sort of a kinetic action. And then that doesn't even get into all the special operations forces options. So the president certainly has his options. It is the Pentagon's job to come up with those options. And then Biden makes his choice on what he wants to do here. It is clear two things. First, it is expected that this will be bigger. And then second, it is also expected that they'll try to calibrate this to not spark a regional war here with Iran.
And every time those words are thrown in there, I ask, are you saying that we don't want to spark a regional, bigger war with Iran? Are you saying that on behalf you're trying to calm the American people? Or is it to telegraph to Iran that we're going to hit you, but we're not going to hit you? I'm going to get into that question of the guest coming up in a moment, and he's got great expertise. But before I go introduce him and we move to the next segment, Christopher Wray testifying today before Congress and talking about another threat we have to deal with, Chinese hackers going after your hometown and your hometown facilities. I'm going to lay out more details on that for you before we wrap up this hour. Also in the second hour, John LeBoutier is going to be joining us because I want to get his take on this $80 million judgment against Trump the other day. I know John's been kind of giddy over it, to be quite honest. But I also want to talk about that and some of the other issues that are in front of us. That'll be coming up in the second hour. John LeBoutier, the author of the book, Who Harvard Hates America, he is a never Trumper. And I'm wondering if there's anything that might begin to change his mind. Now, in my next segment, we're going to be joined by Heritage Policy Defense Expert, 25 years in the Air Force, one-time commander of the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds, numerous battlefield operations. I want questions answered about our defense right now for our troops. It's coming up. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer, Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C, and it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails, and of course Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton, and I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, as we were talking earlier about the issues with Tower 22, I have an expert coming on from the Heritage Foundation. He's with the policy division, JV, or John Venable, 25-plus years in the U.S. Air Force, also at one time serving as the commander of the Thunderbirds, which would perform everywhere. But aside from doing shows, he is very active in combat operations. John, I'm sorry, I do not see. I must be overlooking. I don't know what rank you retired. Please forgive me.
No, I retired as an old colonel.
An old colonel? Did you say old?
Old colonel. All I right. Sure did.
All right, John, Colonel Venable. Thank you. John Venable joining us. Let's begin with something that was stated today. I want to get into particulars to this drone attack, obviously, on Tower 22 the other day. But something that was stated today by the Defense Department, that this Tower 22 did not have defenses like other places do because it had not been hit before. My God, they're in the Middle East. We've known since October 7 we could all be subject to this, and they didn't gear up. Am I misunderstanding something?
I don't know what you could be misunderstanding. This is the subterfuge of the administration. They continue to change stories. If you followed it a couple of days ago, they said that they couldn't shoot it down because it was going to be confused with a U.S. drone that was coming back, and so they didn't elect to fire on it. And now they're saying there's no defensive system there. There's something fundamentally wrong with that.
All right. Now, I do want to get into that first excuse they were giving. But if they are now saying that they did not have the same defense operations there that they do at other outposts because they had not actually been engaged. I mean, this is like I was stating to the audience. All of us have to go on through TSA, basically, unless you're an illegal alien, to get on a plane to fly somewhere. And we're not all involved in plane explosions or anything, but we're doing it as a protective agent. And Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, I hold him accountable if that force was not in place for those troops in the field.
Oh, I completely agree with you. This is an abdication of his job.
And Biden.
And Biden, and we owe it to our service members throughout the Gulf to actually cover them, and then when they are threatened, to actually lead or advance those threats by taking them out before they threaten our troops. We're so far behind that equation. We're over 150 attacks over the last couple of months, And we've responded how many times and how lightly word is we're hitting empty warehouses at night so as not to aggravate the people.
And sending advance notice so they can clear their people and equipment out.
Yeah, and all of that means nothing to them. It's laughable to them. You want to hit this? I understand you got to take action. Okay, go ahead and take out this warehouse, and we will continue to inundate your people with assault.
It doesn't make any sense. You mentioned the number of attacks. The correlation amounts to about one for every 21 times they've hit us, we've fired back once. Now, let's get down to this issue that the drone was either in the shadow of the other coming in, but the first report was they had turned off their capability, radar capability, because they had one of their own drones coming in. Now, I have a pilot's license. I consider you a real pilot. I just have a pilot's license. But I know when flying, I'm squawking a code. I assume the drones do the same thing, be they obviously unmanned. There's still a squawk code, so you know if it's enemy or not. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. So that signature would be identified by radar, and they see one behind it that's not squawking a friendly code. I don't get it.
Yeah, so Larry, this is the thing that people in your audience may not understand. Every airplane that's a commercial airplane in the United States has to have a transponder on it. And so when we send out a code from the ground, it responds with a code that gives its position and altitude.
Correct.
It's mode 3 and mode Charlie. But the military has a special feature in that, and it's IFF, Identification Friend or Foe, and it's what we call mode 4 in the airplane. And every day when you're flying in a classified location where there are friendly air defense systems, you have to be, your transponder has to be squirted with a code, a mode 4 squawk that is classified. And so that when you're up, the system, the air defense system, can readily identify friend from foe. And if there is any semblance of truth of what they're saying, that they turned off their radars.
Yes.
So that doesn't make any legitimate sense.
Yeah, I agree.
The fact that you had two tracks coming in and one absolutely had to have IFF, this mode 4 squawk, and the other one absolutely didn't, and they didn't take action on that, is again, This comes down to the operator level. That's inexcusable for the operator, and it costs American lives.
Well, again, I mean, I don't know who would be in charge of turning the radar off, but they claimed that they had to, because they had a friendly coming in, and they described the other one was coming in low and slow, suggesting it might have been in the radar shadow of it. I don't know if that's accurate. But again, why would you turn it off when you know your own plane is coming in and you can clearly, or your drone, you can clearly identify it, and if there's someone behind it, that's not the door to be open.
Larry, this is all into the I'm going to tell a little white lie, and then when people ask me about it, I've got to expand it in a different direction so they can't run me down.
Yeah.
And that's what appears to be happening again on this Biden's watch.
You did not get into the cookie jar, but you got chocolate chips all over your lips. I got it.
right. It was just the chocolate chips that I had.
Right? Yeah, Larry ate the cookies. I just ate the chips. Well, now,
that's right.
The other thing, we're talking about our response so far. We have, every time I hear them say, and I'm all about, I serve the Marines, I do not want us telegraphing what we're going to do in timetable and everything else. But when Biden did come out yesterday and say, we will have a response, it almost indicates that you want to do something pretty quick, not 36, 48, to 4 days from now, but whatever it is, that's up to their timing, what they decide. Now they're talking about, of course, they also have other possibilities and multilateral spreading it out. The bottom line is, though, they also always add, but we don't want to do anything to enlarge and enrage Iran. And is that message meant for the American people, or is it meant for Iran?
Oh, it's a really hard question to answer. The administration has bent over backwards, as did the Obama administration, to overlook slights, to overlook breaches in contracts, to actually overlook assaults on American troops so that they could continue going down the path of some kind of agreement. The JCPOA was the one that the Obama administration pursued. And if you remember, there was no compromise John Kerry wasn't willing to make to get that agreement signed.
Yeah, that's a nuclear program, which was not a treaty. Never went to the Senate. It was not a treaty.
No, it was meant to constrain in some form or fashion the Iranians' nuclear armament program. It didn't, but it was meant to do that. And they bent over backwards, and they overlooked everything that the Iranian regime was doing throughout the Gulf to U.S. soldiers. And that was one of the telltale signs of weakness. They want something so bad that they're willing to overlook what a bad person does to them to get what they want.
The American
and
first.
That's exactly.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly what the Biden administration is doing. They're not responding to these actions because they want to continue to appease the Iranians to get them to deal with them, to actually get them to compromise with them to some level that I cannot explain. Because if it's not clear to someone in the Biden administration that their campaign is not working and the Iranians are laughing as they're taking advantage of them, if it's not clear to them now, it never will be. It's embarrassing for the United States, and it shows our weakness in a way that puts us at risk.
America First Policy co-director, co-chair Fred Flights, 25-plus years in Intel, was saying the other day that we believe Iran might be very close to uranium-rich capability at this point. But the other point that could be carried out, even if we're not attacking Iran or targets in Iran, or even their ships on the water, Red Sea, we could once again impose sanctions as we had under Trump, stop all the oil flow going from Iran to China and the money that comes back.
That would be a logical solution, Larry, and I'm afraid this administration doesn't deal with logical solutions.
You're right. Colonel Venable, I know you're up against a hard clock here, so I don't want to abuse your time, but I certainly appreciate your expertise for our audience.
Great talking with you as always, Larry.
We'll do it again. Colonel John Venable, 25 years Air Force, 3 combat operations, head of defense policy for Heritage Foundation now, and as I said, also a one-time commander of the Air Force Thunderbirds. Now, I'd mentioned earlier that Christopher Wray today is testifying about what the Chinese are planning to do to wreak havoc throughout our nation, as if they haven't already, by getting illegals across the border. I want to break down more details of what the FBI director has told Congress today, and I'm telling you, this is really just the tip of the iceberg. But as you listen to it, you're going to think, my God, if they really do that, and then they do that, and they do that, we'll be operating blind, we'll be without water, we'll be without fuel, we'll be confused. This is chaos for our nation, and we know it's there. Christopher Wray's admitting. I mean, when I began to tell you some of the statements he shared with Congress today, it should have you shaking in your boots, your shoes, or your bare feet if you haven't put them on yet. Because I'm telling you, the Middle East is their opportunity to continue to engage us on another front. And it's already been stated, if we had to go to war with China, we would not be capable of doing it. We can't even maintain what we've got to deal with. I'll get into that story for you. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270. New specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
Planning a move? I encourage you to call McGuire Moving. And they not only do moving, they can provide you portable storage. They'll bring a storage container to you. You fill it at your time and convenience. They'll pick it up, move it where you want it. Here's their phone number, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Website, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com. Locally owned.
This is News Talk STL. Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The CCP's dangerous actions, China's multi-pronged assault on our national and economic security, make it the defining threat of our generation. Now, when I described the CCP as a threat to American safety a moment ago, I meant that quite literally. There has been far too little public focus on the fact that PRC hackers are targeting our critical infrastructure, our water treatment plants, our electrical grid, our oil and natural gas pipelines, our transportation systems, and the risk that poses to every American requires our attention now.
Now, it probably requires our attention yesterday, last year, 3 years ago. Hackers have been around and operating out of different countries and different operations for a long time. But if this is a coordinated Chinese hack attack, according to the FBI Director Ray, that they're going to position and target American infrastructure, it will cause real world harm to American citizens and communities. Again, Christopher Ray.
China's hackers are positioning on American infrastructure in preparation to wreak havoc and cause real-world harm to American citizens and communities if and when China decides the time has come to strike. We can see from where they position themselves across civilian infrastructure that low blows aren't just a possibility in the event of a conflict. Low blows against civilians are part of China's plan. But the PRC's cyber onslaught goes way beyond pre-positioning for future conflict. Today, and literally every day, they're actively attacking our economic security, engaging in wholesale theft of our innovation and our personal and corporate data. Nor is cyber the only PRC threat we face.
Now, keep in mind, if China's in the process of doing this, you know other foreign governments, enemies, are doing the same. They may or may not be duplicating. They may or may not be sharing. You shut one door, there are too many other doors that could be open, or they will find a way to open them. We're at a point now, and of course, with artificial intelligence, not just on the horizon, but here already, you don't know if you're talking to someone you think you're talking to. You don't know if you're getting factual information. Every day when I try to pull material together for you, I'm checking and double-checking even legitimate sources. When I go to that direct source, I expect it to be legitimate. Then I got to make sure, did they put that up or did someone else step in and do it? So it's not just how it will affect us directly, but on top of that as to how it could have far-reaching impacts above and beyond, and that would include what information the American public is or is not getting. Again, back to Christopher Wray, exactly as to how they are targeting our businesses and you.
They recruit human sources to target our businesses, using insiders to steal the same kinds of innovation and data that their hackers are targeting, while also engaging in corporate deception, hiding Beijing's hand in transactions, joint ventures, and investments to do the same. And they don't just hit our security and economy, they target our freedoms, reaching inside our borders across America to silence, coerce, and threaten some of our citizens and residents.
And how are they doing it? Well, here's some breakdown he was giving in his testimony. He said the hacker is known to the private sector as Volt Typhoon, Volt, V-O-L-T, Typhoon, are using privately owned small routers infected with KV botnet malware to conceal further Chinese hacking activities against U.S. and foreign victims. He said the Volt Typhoon malware enabled China to hide, among other things, pre-operational reconnaissance and network exploitation against critical infrastructure like our communications, energy, transportation, water sectors, steps China was taking, in other words, to find and prepare to destroy or degrade the civilian critical infrastructure that keeps us safe and prosperous. He said, really, the majority of the routers affected by the hackers were vulnerable because they had reached, quote, end-of-life status. They could no longer be supported by the manufacturer's security patches or other software updates. You get that from time to time, reference your cell phone or your computer. Hey, there's an update, a malware update available for you. Download it now, and you do it, but you're far behind, or it's far behind. And he also adds this. Again, this is the FBI Director Wray. He said the cyber onslaught of Chinese hackers goes way beyond pre-positioning for future conflict. Every day they're actively attacking the U.S. economic security, engaging in, quote, wholesale theft of our innovation and our personal and corporate data. And they don't just hit our security and economy, they target our freedoms, reaching inside our borders, across America to silence, coerce, threaten our citizens and residents. And we're coming up on a major election. Despite all the noise that we heard from Hillary Clinton's campaign and the Democrat National Committee about Trump and Russian collusion, there is a real possibility, not just with Russia, but with China this time around. How secure is our vote going to be? And I don't care which candidate you want to choose or select. Is your vote going to be legitimately counted? Or will somebody get in and mix it up? In an interview that Christopher Wray had given previously back in 2022 with NBC News, at that time, 2022, he said he was shocked to learn the scale of Chinese efforts to steal U.S. technology. He said, I was shocked when I became FBI director in 2017, what they were already doing. He said, I had no idea they were that capable. He said, as a result of that, we launched an average of 2 counterintel investigations a day trying to counter them. And last year, here's some examples here. Chinese-linked hackers breached email accounts of state and commerce departments, as well as the U.S. ambassador to China. The Federal Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency said at the time the targeted intel gathering campaign lasted about a month. They got what they wanted, they got out, but they may come back. But this also underscores the issue with Hillary Clinton, and I'm not trying to pound on Hillary Clinton. I'm talking about what she was doing with her own private server, thinking everything's okay, I can conduct government business from here, when she knew damn well she had signed an agreement, you must do everything through government-protected servers. And that's assuming they're actually protected. So we don't know what they got out of what she was transmitting at that time, and if it's still viable or not. You know, I'm listening to replay in my mind everything we've been presenting to you in just this first hour. The immigration confusion chaos continues, and Biden insisting we're done everything. The situation in the Middle East, and we're not properly protecting our troops that are there. And now, whatever you're trying to do to protect your company or your personal info, you're under threat. And again, don't forget how many terrorists have probably come into our nation through the open border. I don't want you to live in fear, but I want you to live in awareness and preparedness at whatever level you think is necessary for you and your family. And again, that's why I appreciate you listening and encouraging others to listen. Because I'm going to try to keep you posted on these on a constant basis. And even then, I fear that I'm failing and falling short of giving you everything you truly need. And then, of course, if you listen to the president, and especially going into the next election, everything is good, especially about when it comes to inflation. Bidenomics is working.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Inflation is still 250% higher than it was when Biden took office. Violent crime is still driving Americans out of American cities like Gavin Newsom, San Francisco, and Los Angeles to places like Nashville and Florida and Texas. The border is a number one issue because even Democrats see what a national security threat it is to have hundreds of terrorists on the FBI terror watch list crossing into this country. Jonathan Carl didn't talk about that very much. And we see a patently weak president, at least he's seen as patently weak by our adversaries like China, Russia, and Iran that's using our U.S. servicemen and women as target practice in the Red Sea as we speak. So Jonathan Carl should have had Newsom answer those facts one by one, but instead offered up a weak question around polling to allow him to spin, and that is something that Gavin Newsom is very good at. Yep. So 3 years, great record. Then why, again, is Joe Biden at 33% approval, according to an ABC News poll? That is the lowest we've seen since Jimmy Carter and then some.
That is Joe Concha, contributor to Fox News, also a writer for The Messenger, talking about how Bidenomics and everything is upside down. And he's referring to Jonathan Carl, an ABC anchor, who was interviewing Gavin Newsom and kind of letting him off the hook when Newsom was saying, oh, the economy is great. We were doing so great this last 3 years. And he said he did not go after him as he should. Well, part of it is Jonathan Carl has written three books, all three books, battering Trump from the very beginning. But he wouldn't ask a tough question of Gavin Newsom. Wonder why? Because they're just like that. They're buddy-buddy, I guess. I'm reading from the White House government website. Headline for you. Stand back. You don't know how big this is going to get. I'll give you the date in a moment, but they're going to stand by what I read right now. Bidenomics is working. The president's plan grows the economy. That was a statement from the White House this last June. And talking about how great Biden and Harris have done. Then I go down to a Bloomberg report from January of this year. And I want to share some of this. What is Bidenomics? As is written in the Bloomberg report, it depends if you're a Democrat or a Republican. Mike Sasso, the writer, says U.S. President Joe Biden took a phrase animating his critics and turned it into a badge of honor. He embraced Bidenomics as shorthand for his economic agenda, which he says will create desirable middle-class jobs and fields that help the country in the long run. Republicans who hope to deprive Biden of a second term say Bidenomics is just a fancy term to justify a spending binge that's widening the budget deficit, fueling elevated inflation. And the middle-class Americans are directly targeted. I heard an interview the other day with an American worker. I forgot the source and where they were, but he was being told, well, you know, inflation is not as high as it used to be, or is going up as fast, put it that way. He said, well, it doesn't make any difference. My wages are still down, and they're not going up, and everything is still higher than what it was. So even if it's not increasing as fast, like if you're trying to, someone that made in a comparison, if I had the source in front of me, I would give them the credit because I always like to give credit or blame because there's a thin line between credit and blame. You understand that. But they were saying basically if you're trying to lose 60 pounds and you're losing, you're trying to do it over 3 months and you're losing 10 pounds each month, well, you're doing good. You're 30% down, 30 pounds down, 50%, but you're still 30 pounds overweight from what you wanted to. So it really hasn't gotten you into better health and situation. And you're still facing dire threats. And the hardest hit are those who are already suffering in our nation. And the Democrats are wondering why so many of the minorities are turning against them. Not only because of the high prices for normal items, which would include food and fuel, but also the influx of illegals that they just continue to let come in, and they're sucking up resources where your children go to school, where you take your children for emergency care, where you go to help do something that is for an American family to enjoy and take advantage of. It's provided for Americans. It's suddenly not as big as an offer as before because they're turning it over to illegals. I don't want any child to come in this country, even illegally, and starve. But I'm afraid we're at a point we have to remember, my family is first. Just like I expect you to say, Larry, I care about your family, but my family comes first. Coming up in the next hour, John LeBoutier, the man everyone loves to hate because I want to hear his take on this $80 million judgment against Donald Trump and more from Christopher Wray. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.